as writers, where do we start? With characters? Which characters are essential? Maybe we start with the plot. But what plot scenes should we write first? Once we plunge into writing, what work process do we use? Should we perfect that first scene before we move forward? Are all the options driving you crazy? Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Itty Runes and Remy Black, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Links, resources, and a summary of this and other episodes can be found on thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com, winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Remember, we're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro, New Advent for Writers by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017, with the revision in 2018. This episode is Part B of Chapter 1, about deadlines. Our focus is developing 3 sets of 7 for success. Here we go. Develop 7 characters. Devote pages to your character descriptions. Take a photograph to each character's page. You need 2 main characters, at least. Protagonist, maybe more than one. The goal, motivation, and conflict. The goal is what the character most wants in life. Motivation is the reason for the goal, usually something to be escaped through gaining something else. Escape is often motivated by a past trauma. Conflict is what prevents achieving that goal, what fear blocks the protagonist, and what external enemy stands in the way. The best resource for GMC is Deborah Dixon's book, Goal, Motivation, and Conflict. You can find a link for it, thewritefocus.blogspot.com. You need to describe your protagonist physically, intellectually, and emotionally. What do they want? What's in their way? Where do you want them to wind up? Your other major character is the antagonist. Also do the GMC for the antagonist. We discover things about our protagonist by learning the reason the antagonist is in conflict with them. Repeat the same templates and information that you used for the protagonist. Your antagonist is as important, and many say more important, than your protagonist. 2 more essential characters, the confidant and the seeming ally. Who will keep your protagonist going when he or she is mired in the mud? The confidant is the best friend, the one who knows the protagonist's secrets, not the heart secrets, but all of the others. Describe your confidant. How did they become a confidant? Will they remain so? If not, why? Will your antagonist have a confidant? Know their wants and conflicts and end result. What commonality ties the confidant to the protagonist? GMC also. The other essential character is the seeming ally. The seeming ally character is more important than the confidant. This is the archetypal shapeshifter, the character who begins as trusted but then is not. The alternative form of the shapeshifter is to begin as untrusted and then become so. A seeming ally, however, is purely devious and manipulative. You may want to research the cunning and manipulative sociopath if you are seeking a villainous character in addition to your antagonist. The sociopath would undermine your protagonist until the protagonist understands just what the seeming ally is. When will the seeming ally turn on the protagonist? What first reason will the seeming ally give? What's the real reason? Is the seeming ally going against the protagonist on his or her own? Or is the seeming ally working for the antagonist and has been all along? Most definitely, the seeming ally needs a goal, motivation, and conflict breakdown. 4 required character sets for your books. Blocking figures. These are especially strong if they are family or close friends of the protagonist. They get in the way for the best intentions. Love and guilt are strong motivators for their protagonist. Often, well-intentioned family and friends see the protagonist on a different path than the one he or she has chosen. For this reason, family and friends will actively block the protagonist from the desired goal. These characters can supply guilt as the protagonist is pulled between the old, easy path and the newer, challenging path that leads to her or his desire. Another character set is a foil. These characters mirror the protagonist and proceed along the same path, only to fail tragically. They foreshadow what may happen to the protagonist if she or he does not make the dynamic changes necessary. The protagonist's dynamic changes are tied to the three major discoveries: the desired goal rather than the end result, the betrayal of the seeming ally, and the true heart of the antagonist. Learning these three clarifies the nobler path of the protagonist. Otherwise, he or she is merely a foil. Foils reflect one or several of the personality traits of the protagonist. These are the characters who can be associated with the protagonist, then killed off to create a suspenseful belief in the audience that the protagonist may be killed off as well. Walk-ons and cameos are the last set of essential. Walk-on characters provide information or do minor errands. They are hangers-on who have a single purpose. Cameos are characters you want to highlight, especially if they are part of later or previous books. Similar to walk-ons, cameos should not take an active role and interfere with the protagonist as the main character. However, a cameo can be a blocking figure, a foil, a confidant, or even a seeming ally, as long as the cameo remains true to the personality you created for him previously. Time for the second set of seven. Develop the plot seven. Many different versions of plot structures abound. Seven types of plot, as well as five methods of plotting, are presented for you in Chapter 3 in this book. We also have Aristotle's Essentials for Any Plot in Chapter 4. I sometimes think there are as many different versions of plot as there are adaptations of Pachelbel's Canon in D. Plot 7, my own version, is just another adaptation. When you are starting the manuscript and considering how the deadline will work, you are not really concerned, not at the very beginning, with the complete structure of the novel. Deal with a complete novel when you know whether or not you have a story. The plot 7 will tell you if a story's there, or warn you if you just have a burgeoning idea still in the incipient stage. About 25 to 40 pages is sufficient. Here's the plot 7. These are out of order for a reason. Follow the out of order and rearrange when you're finished with this white-hot creativity. Knowing the plot 7 gives you an idea about how to sequence and develop the whole structure. In the opening and closing, plot 1, the beginning. How are you going to introduce your protagonist? How will the protagonist meet the antagonist? Why will the antagonist be similar to the protagonist? How will the antagonist be different? And this is a key element, making the protagonist and the antagonist different from each other. What do you want the protagonist to be doing when the reader first meets him or her? What exhibits the protagonist's dissatisfaction with life as it currently is? And what represents the dear desire that the protagonist wants so very much in the beginning? Plot 2. The ending. What kind of ending do you want? What will it look like? What impression will you leave the readers with when they close the book? How do you want the protagonist to end up? In what physical, emotional, or intellectual state? How does the protagonist react when he or she has the dear desire in hand? How will the reader know that the protagonist has triumphed? Even in a series, the protagonist has to triumph at the end of each novel. Why else does the reader keep reading? Because a well-liked protagonist has won once and will need to win again. The next set I call Danger, 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 Plot 3. What is the protagonist's greatest stress point, at least in your preliminary view? How will the protagonist feel at her or his lowest point? What event will put him there? How will she or he recover? How will the protagonist react in a different manner than the antagonist to losing? Why would this be the blackest moment in the entire book? Plot 4. The antagonist's early triumph over the protagonist. The antagonist has seemingly won, either in preventing the protagonist from achieving the dear desire or in simply blocking the protagonist from a major step on that journey to achieve it. What occurred? How does the protagonist react? How does the antagonist? Where will each go from here? Plot 5 of Danger, Danger, Danger is the final battle. This is not the ending. Plot 2. This is the moment the protagonist takes the antagonist down. Fist pump. What sets up the final encounter between the protagonist and the antagonist? How is this the ultimate encounter? Set the stakes high. This is the defeat of the representative of evil by the representative of honor. Life and death, whether the death is bloody and absolute cessation of life, are merely the complete loss of reputation and standing. This death struggle will be the ending of all conflict between the protagonist and the antagonist, at least for this book. What special skill or learning will the protagonist have that allows her or him to defeat the antagonist? Make a note of where that skill or learning will be acquired during the course of the story. Make another note of proving the protagonist has learned the skill, even if that skill is shakily performed in an earlier scene. What will the protagonist and the antagonist do at the end of the final battle? The last set in Plot 7 is two planned ironies. Plot 6 is an early twist. What the protagonist expects will not occur. You are working with early irony here. The protagonist needs to expect an event that will be helpful to her or him. What is the expectation that the protagonist wants to exult over? What or who will prevent this early event from occurring? Do not confuse this event with the antagonist's early triumph. While you will answer the same questions, the event will be a completely different scenario. If you already have other twists in mind, go ahead and write those. Last in the Plot 7 is Plot 7, the seeming ally's betrayal. Betrayal is one of those things that hits everyone in the gut. This is another scene presenting irony, usually occurring before the protagonist's greatest stress point and often setting it up or occurring before the final battle. The purpose of the seeming ally's betrayal is to show the protagonist's ability to keep pursuing the desire even in the face of betrayal. Study the meaning of the word betrayal. It is not disloyalty or broken promises or simple infidelity or unfaithfulness. It is treachery. It is as deep as a heart stabbed from behind when the protagonist expected a hug. Of the seven, this may be the most important scene. Don't skimp on it. We started with three sets of seven, and now it's time to talk about the last set, which is develop seven work steps. These seven work steps are the ones that will build a strong foundation for your story and then for your book. First is the rough draft. No tinkering, no editing, just writing. Take the plot seven and write the described scenes and all intervening sequels. Launch into that book. About 40 pages in, you will realize if you have a working story or not. That note you made about a special skill or learning, where does it go in the course of your story? What needs to happen? Who needs to help the protagonist achieve that skill or learning? Where does that character come into the story? More than once, please. What other special skills or learning are needed to occur to set up escape from the greatest stress point? What foreshadowing about the seeming ally's betrayal needs to occur? If the story just won't launch, set it aside and start another one. The time for Project 1 may not be now. Try Project 2. Try Project 3. Don't try a fourth project. Go back and try to determine what was wrong with 1 or 2 or 3. Second, finish. Finishing is key. The story doesn't breathe until you finish. Stick with a project until its conclusion. You can have other projects in the opening and ending stages, but you should only be drafting and revising one project at a time. Many wannabe writers have dozens of stories, but they haven't finished one of them. Drafting a book is exceptionally difficult and very important. Many wannabes abandon the draft, or they keep writing and rewriting the beginning or favorite scenes. Finishing a book teaches that we can push through the hard scenes and sequels. Once we have the draft finished, a new mindset of revision takes over. After that comes proofing, a third mindset, and a writer needs familiarity with all three. Third, add to the draft. This is the revision step. Additions enrich the story and present your voice. Add in descriptions of characters and settings. Expand on events. Provide the viewpoint characters' thoughts and feelings during scenes. Some people can do the added information as they write the rough draft. Sometimes I cannot. I need a separate step. Fourth, discover plot holes. Finding plot holes can only be done by rereading the whole manuscript, hopefully in one day. Make notes about problems and where to add more hidden clues. Then add them and read the whole thing again. Fifth, keep characters on firm ground. In your read-through, you may discover character discrepancy. Every character's personality should be set from the beginning. Even the seeming ally's personality. Check actions and reactions to ensure consistency. A character who changes mid-book or book to book is extremely irritating to the reader. Don't irritate your readers. Woo them. Sixth, foreshadow sly evil. Add in early examples of the antagonist's villainy or outright evil. The antagonist's minions need to show up as bad people. They can avoid evil, but they definitely need to be people who have chosen the wrong path. Ensure your seeming ally has three touches that hint at her or his true character allegiance to something other than the protagonist, whether or not that allegiance is to the antagonist or merely to the self. Seventh and last, enhance your writing. Every fifth manuscript page or so, work in an example of figurative language or a special sentence structure. These touches will make you, the writer, stand out. Figurative language includes, but is not limited to, simile, metaphor, personification, and symbolism. Color symbolism is easy to work in. An implied metaphor can be as simple as life is a road with its many junctions and curves and hills. Special sentence structures include antithesis, which is juxtaposition, like war and peace, chiasmus, my personal favorite, like plan the work and work the plan. Alliteration is easy to exhibit, such as dusty death. Asyndetons and polysyndetons, zygmas, anaphoras and epistrophes, and abscisses, often called climactic structure. Most people haven't learned about sentence structures beyond declarative, imperative, interrogatory, and exclamatory. Nevertheless, they recognize them and enjoy their occurrence. Here's a quick, easy website for examples and explanations of each. These are sometimes called schema or rhetorical devices. Go to web.cn.edu/kwheeler/schemes.html for easy glances. rhetoric.byu.edu is more complex. Don't overload the manuscript page with enhancements. That's injecting yourself into the story, which can be jarring to the reader. The reader will think, oh yeah, we got an artsy-fartsy author who thinks highly of herself. Not certain I like that. Some writers are known for their lyricism. Robin McKinley comes to mind. Cormac McCarthy. Mary Stuart. They are few in number. If you are a poet at heart, keep the poetry to every fifth manuscript page until you get a following of readers. However you choose to enhance your writing, wherever you are in the writing process, whether you are back at the basics of plot or the development of essential characters, whatever you do, plan for success. How do we achieve success? Take the dare. Learn to set deadlines and achieve them. Working to a deadline is only the first change in our thinking necessary for our transformation from hobby writer to professional writer. Actually, these lessons apply for any hobbyist who wants to become a professional. They apply for any newbie at the debut of a career. They apply for anyone launching after a season of drifting. Deadlines are key. Ignore deadlines and watch the dream fritter away, flutter by. Deadlines save us when we approach our first challenge. Yet more challenges remain. As for now, get to writing. Follow, consider, and transform. Coming up, Chapter 2 of Think Like a Pro, our continued bookcasting series. Chapter 2 is one Latin phrase. What Latin phrase is essential for writers? I'll tell you, it's not etc. or opsit or even ibid. Tune in next Wednesday to find out. It's Chapter 2, one Latin phrase of Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee. Until then, write on.